This is City Cafe. I'm John Lemley. We're going to take a look at an important date in Georgia history now with Dr. Tim Crimmins, director of the Center for Neighborhood and Metropolitan Studies at Georgia State University. Welcome back, Dr. Crimmins.
Nice to be here, John.
50 years ago, on March 9th, 1960, students at the Atlanta University Center Colleges published a full-page ad in the Atlanta Constitution titled An Appeal for Human Rights. What did this advertisement say?
It did three things, John. First, it attacked legalized segregation, the system of Jim Crow. The students said in the ad, "We want to state clearly and unequivocally that we cannot tolerate, in a nation professing democracy, the discriminatory conditions under which the Negro is living today in Atlanta, Georgia." The second thing that it did was to announce that protests would be forthcoming. The students said that we do not intend to wait placidly for those rights which are already legally and morally ours to be meted out to us one at a time. And finally, it included a long list of instances of discrimination, segregation, and exclusion of Negroes in the city of Atlanta.
What prompted this publication?
Well, the Montgomery bus boycott is cited in the ad, but it was the February 1st sit-in at Woolworths by four black students in Greensboro, North Carolina, a month earlier, that prompted students at Morehouse and Spelman to begin discussing initiating a series of sit-ins in Atlanta. Among the leaders were Lonnie King and Julian Bond and Ben Brown and Marion Wright Edelman.
What was the political reaction to the publication of the appeal?
Both Georgia Governor Ernest Vandiver and Atlanta Mayor William Hartsfield responded in press conferences. The governor first attacked the advertisement as a left-wing statement, not written by students in any Georgia college or school.
Nor, in fact, did it read like it was written even in this country.
He then said that the ad was calculated to breed dissatisfaction,
discontent, discord, and evil.
He then tried to head off the sit-ins, calling upon those who would cause hatred, strife, discord in this state and in this capital city
to cease and desist in their efforts, which can do much harm to all and can gain no good for anyone.
Was the reaction of Mayor Hartsfield any different?
Yes. Governor Vandiver relied on a base of white voters across Georgia. Hartsfield's political base was a biracial coalition in the city of Atlanta, and his was a much more moderate statement. He said that while everyone may not agree,
this advertisement does perform the constructive service of letting the white community know what others are thinking.
He went on to say that he was particularly glad to see the promise of nonviolence and a peaceful approach.
This is of the greatest importance to Atlanta, a city which proudly proclaims to the world that it is too busy making progress to tear itself apart in bitter hatreds, recriminations, or any destructive violence.
And that phrase of Hartsfield then became the city too busy to hate that the city used during this difficult period.
Did the students at the Atlanta Center University Colleges go ahead with their sit-in?
Yes. 1 week after the appeal, there were small groups of young, well-dressed African-Americans who walked into 10 cafeterias and restaurants at governmental-operated or regulated facilities around the city, and they requested to be served lunch. And if we just take one of these, the one at the state capitol, it was there that six African-Americans, including the Reverend Otis Moss Jr. and five Atlanta University Center college students, walked in to the cafeteria, picked up trays, and started through the line.
As we walked up to get our trays, the people in the line were really kind of looking and picking. The lady started motioning for us to come in a hurry and started shoving food toward us.
One of the students at the state capitol that day was Gwendolyn Middlebrooks.
The first person who reached the cashier was an albino, and the lady never looked at him. He handed her his money. She was just looking at his hand. His hand was very fair. She took his money, and then she looked up at his face and the rest of us and threw her hands up and started screaming, "They're here! They're here! Lock the doors! Don't let them out!" She was just running around, throwing arms on. We were standing there. After a while, Otis said, "Sit down. Let's eat. This might be the last meal we get for the day."
What was the immediate aftermath of these sit-ins? Was there any response as far as how the city and the state handled itself?
Well, in the immediate aftermath, the Atlanta Constitution editorialized saying, well, now that this demonstration has been done, that's fine. We need to move on and we'll work this thing out slowly and carefully. And so that wasn't what the students wanted to hear. So the important thing I think about this is it's the beginning of an active phase of civil disobedience here in Atlanta that went on for 3 or 4 years in order to bring an end to the segregation in public facilities.
So even though this was sort of the beginning, it was far from an isolated event.
Exactly.